All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're watching Oilers Nation Every Day with Heather Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
The Hyman family are the richest family in the world, and I am in love with their son, Zachary. Let's get into it with the lead. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oilers Nation Every Day with me, Liam Horobin. Tyler is on a maintenance day tomorrow, so I'm sure we'll get some questionable comments from him in the morning when he's back on the show. But welcome into Oilers Nation Every Day and into the Sports Closet Studio, 3 locations across the city, St. Albert, Sherwood Park Mall, and Kingsway. But I'm not alone today. I am joined by our producer and host of Pregame with Boardsy and After Dark, Aaron Bordado. Aaron, welcome.
Tyler, you got way, way more handsome. Good for you, buddy. The hair looks good. Liam is having a good hair today. Everyone's good. I always love getting to use that logo at the beginning of the show. I keep it strapped on me all the time, just in case. And I like that you said maintenance day for Tyler Yaremchuk. Mm. Hopefully he bounces back like one of Evander Kane.
Yes, Evander Kane, to his credit, which we'll get into, was really, really good last night for the Edmonton Oilers. But the first comment today in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat goes to Cole Blight. Good to know. What did he say? Good to know the only thing holding me back from the NHL was my parents' finances. I thought it was my athletic abilities and work ethic. Here we are, Cole. I called him Cody. But yeah, that's true. The reason none of us are in the NHL is because we're all poor.
Dude, I could have made the NHL. I could have probably made the NFL. Look how big and strong I am, and I have such a hard work ethic. I hate that we still have to talk about this guy and everything that happened. I had a nice field day last night. Just started After Dark by saying, rich kids, stand up, everybody. It's a day for the rich kids. Zach Hyman, he showed up last night. Of course, he got the overtime game winner. It was written in the stars. I mentioned it to you. I've never seen the entire internet agree on one thing before. It was a beautiful thing, especially hockey Twitter.
I saw a tweet last night. I can't remember who it was, but it was from like 2019, 2018. And the tweet was, every day on Twitter, someone's the main character, but you never want to be the main character. And yesterday, Andrew Berkshire was the main character, especially when Zach Hyman buried that overtime winner. Like you said, the Twitter world was just so collectively against him in every single way. Like, there was very few out there. Like, I saw a couple of people who were commenting, like, well, hockey is like a super expensive sport, and like, that's something we should talk about. And that's true. I 100% agree. But here's some of the reactions on Twitter. Ryan Whitney: I've never seen hockey Twitter all agree on one thing until today, when this doofus made a video about Zach Hyman scoring 50 goals because he got a Range Rover for his 16th birthday. What else we got, Aaron? I've got a few here, right? The rich kid strikes again. That one was me. That was a good little clickbaity one for me, I think. From Heat Daddy: I can't believe Zach Hyman only grew up to score his 51st goal in overtime because his parents provided a good life for his family.
Could have been me. Could have been me. I love this one, Liam, because shout out Jesse Pollock. He's a Hyman guy. He is a Jets fan. He's arguably the face of the Jets. Even he last night was chuckling away at this, that of course it was Zach Hyman. He also mentioned that he's never been so happy to see the Jets lose a game before. This one was a thing of beauty. Spectre, this is beautiful. I said these words exactly last night. Suck it, Andrew. Okay, buddy. Shout out to Beck. Probably the greatest tweet he's ever had.
Yeah, it was a good one from Spec. One of his most liked ones for the good reasons, I think. And then Elliot Freeman, just a nice one from Freeman. 51 for Hyman, the OT winner against Winnipeg. Amazing what hard work can get you. It's true. All you need is hard work.
Shout out to Nick Alberga, everybody's favorite Leafs host. He totally called this one and predicted this and came back to do his victory lap. We all know Nicky A and what he does. Shout out to Adrian. Imagine being throttled by some loser all day on social media and then score the OT winner, handing the Jets a fourth straight loss. It's a beautiful thing, Liam. Everyone came together. Shout out to everybody in the chat, because everyone was fired up. And if you're on Twitter, send out a tweet to Andrew. Let him know.
There was a couple of comments here in the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. One from Ryan: can we just draft players with the richest parents? I actually sent out a memo to my Crusader scouts yesterday and said this. It's now a financial line we have to, all our players have to cross if we want any success in our leagues. Cole again said, you won't find me agreeing with Spec ever, but he nailed this one. And yeah, it's true. It was just poetic, wasn't it, that it was Zach Hyman that got the overtime winner. And Aaron, I'm curious, what were the post-game thoughts aside from the Hyman stuff? What were people thinking last night on After Dark with you and Zach, right?
Zachary Lang, yep. And shout out Brett, he was producing behind the scenes. I don't know, it was a weird one, right? Because the game, the Oilers were outshot like 9-2 or something, like 7 minutes into the game. I was sitting there looking at Brett going, uh-oh, I think we're going to get Hellebuck or something tonight. And Stuart Skinner was awesome. He weathered the storm to start the game. And then everyone was pretty much in agreement that they dominated most of the game, except for a nice 60-second chunk there in the third period where the wheels fell off. And there's going to be your fans out there. There was a couple of guys that were, why are we celebrating this win? They blew it. That's not something you can do in the playoffs. My thing was, that other team is a playoff caliber squad. Mm-hmm. They do have 90, now 94 points on the season for a reason. They are a good team. That's a playoff battle. It's never going to be 60 straight minutes of domination. But it was a little weird to have the Oilers not have the third period magic, and it was the other team that had the third period comeback. But Zachary Hyman, his parents paid off the refs, and we got the overtime winner. Shout out, Zach.
Yeah, I don't think that's very fair to say you can't win games from coming from behind in the playoffs. Like, I mean, I hate to bring this one up, but the Anaheim Ducks came back from, what was it, 3-0 down in 2017 to beat the Oilers in overtime. Like, game's not over till it's over at the end of the day. And Winnipeg's a good team. They've got a very good goaltender. They're in obviously a slump now. I believe that was their fourth loss in a row. And the Oilers just did a really good job of controlling large chunks of the game. I think we can all agree that first 10 minutes or so wasn't great by any means. Stuart Skinner made some great saves and was easily the Oilers' best player in the first period. Did get beat clean by Sean Monahan, but also who hit the crossbar, I believe crossbar and post actually. Yep. But you also just let Sean Monahan walk right in and just rip a shot on him. And the way Skinner's reaction was very weird, wasn't it? Like, he was just like stood up and he just like kind of threw his hands.
He thought it went in, Liam. Totally. He looked like he gave up on it, was like, oh shit. And then went, oh wait, oh, play's still going. What'd you think of Stu last night? Because I thought he was good enough to get the win. The first one. All right, here, do you want to just get in the scoring summary?
Well, we are going to be joined by Frank in right away here, so we'll leave the scoring summary till after. But I thought Stuart Skinner was great, especially in that first period. Like I said, he had a big save on Mark Scheifele on the power play. Nikolaj Ehlers was the real first test of the game he faced. And I think he had another one on Sean Monahan too, which was just big of him. And he was really good when the Oilers needed him to be. And it was big for him to have a bounce back game after a disappointing out in Toronto for the whole team in general. But Skinner wasn't great by any means in that one either. So nice to see him kind of climb back to form there a little bit too.
I got one for you here. One that I expected it, but I didn't expect two of them. I said yesterday on pregame, and Tyler, are we going to see some scraps tonight? Because I think after the Oilers' bad weekend, the Jets' bad week, they had lost three in a row coming into this. And there's bad blood. There's bad memories between these teams. And we got not one, but two fights last night, Liam. Shout out Corey Perry, because boy, was he outmatched and oversized in that fight. And I hate to say it, he kind of got beat up in that one, but he wasn't going to say no. He even got up after the fight. They had a good clip, and he just has this shit-eating grin on his face. And he's like, yeah, I know what happened. Won't be the first time, won't be the last. And then Darnell Nurse coming in to defend his teammate, skating like half of the ice length to go grab Brendan Dillon and fight him. I love that. I love the physicality last night. It felt like a playoff game. They booed Evander Kane literally every time he touched the puck. So you got to respect the commitment to that. What'd you think about felt like a playoff game last night.
Yeah, it was a good game, wasn't it? Just overall in every category. And Knobloch addressed that too in his post game. But the fighting stuff, I think a message must have been sent in the room. You know, we obviously saw Evander Kane have his maintenance day, if that's what we're still calling it, and then come out, and he was playing physical in the game, having a lot of shots, which we'll get into shortly as well after Frank. But the fights, I love what Louis said about Corey Perry. Is just like, he knows he's not going to win every fight, but he's willing to just get in there and fight and do what it takes. And I think we've seen that a little bit with Matthias Janmark too recently, obviously fight against Toronto and then obviously one in Calgary, like a guy stepping out of his comfort zone to help the team get across the line there. And then Darnell Nurse, you know, last season we had the LA Kings game where they had all those fights and it kind of unified the team. I think we're a bit too late, and I don't think this team is similar to that team in that moment either, but this did feel like almost a unifying game to them. But we'll get into all of that with our Service Credit Union scoring summary. You got one more thing?
Do I have red sideburns right now in the lighting?
Yes, you look like a little old Archie Andrew.
Does it work? Does it look good? Should I go ginger?
Totally. Gingers always get what they want. Sorry to all the gingers in the chat. But anyway, so let's get to Frank Saravalli in the Star Mechanical guest line. Star Mechanical is one of Edmonton's biggest locally owned and operated plumbing and heating businesses. They have been working within the community for over 20 years, and many of the homes built in Edmonton over the last two decades have had their plumbing and heating systems installed by Star Mechanical. Visit starmechanical.ca to schedule an appointment and let them help keep your home running smoothly. Let's get to Frank Saravalli from Daily Faceoff. Hello, Frank. How are you doing?
I'm good. Look, Boardsy, not a good look. the sideburns, they're a little unkempt today, by the way. A little all over the place. And I can say that as someone that, as soon as we're done here, I'm going to go get a haircut for the first time in 6 weeks. So much needed. But, you know, maybe red's not your color. Maroon, burgundy. And Liam, I don't know why, but every time I, you know, message you or I see you on the tube, I want to call you Liam. I don't know why.
I have been passed around many nicknames recently, Frank. Lehman is the new one going around the Oilers Nation office. Right,
so now. I was at the World Juniors in Czech Republic a few years ago. This was the Alexi Lafreniere year, and Liam Foodie was on the team, but they couldn't properly pronounce his name. So the Czech PA guy, he would be like, "Goal scored by Liam Foodie," and you're like, "What, Liam? Like, can you do, like just call him Liam? Like, it's not that difficult." But apparently it was. And now I want to apply that nickname to you.
You can call me whatever you want as long as you come on the show on a weekly basis, Frank.
Okay, well, that's a deal.
Okay, so first question I have for you, obviously, I want to stay on the positive side of this story to start with, but Zach Hyman scored his 51st goal yesterday for the Edmonton Oilers. The season he's had has been incredible. And I guess, what are your thoughts on just his season as a whole, but also the conversation now that he's one of the best free agent signings in the cap era? Like, obviously there's big names like Niedermeyer, Chara, and Hossa, but that cap hit is kind of the part that I think people indicate to him why he could be one of the best.
You had to go there with money with Hyman, didn't you? So yeah, I mean, look, for the Oilers, he has delivered on every aspect that you could have possibly ever hoped. Like, I think they were, you know, cautiously optimistic when they signed him, a huge jump in the pay that he was making in Toronto. And I think when you go back to, you know, he was completely serviceable there and also played with high end players. You know, I think part of the conversation that you get into with certain guys around the league is, I love the player at 2-3-5, but all of a sudden at 5 whatever, I'm going, ooh, I don't know. Is he worth it? And so certain different players around the league, they get you know, reputations based on their value relative to cap. And I think as hockey media, as fans of the game, unfortunately, so many guys are viewed only through their prism. And I think Connor Brown's probably an unfair example to point out, just because, look, any guy that goes through 60 games of the year and hasn't scored is going to be appropriately, you know, sort of thrashed about on social media. But a lot of what we, however, fans and the market perceives Brown now moving forward, who, by the way, is kind of hot, and you know, all of a sudden it becomes a different conversation. But it's like, God, we're stuck with $3 million next year on the cap. It's all Connor Brown's fault, and he's, you know, he's screwed up our summer. And like, you view players a lot of times through the prism of their cap hit, and sometimes that's fairly, sometimes it's unfairly. But I think it's the cap as a whole has changed the dynamic of how we think about and consume hockey, which in some ways is kind of a suck on the fandom part of it, I think.
Frank, Liam decided that he wanted to go positively to start. I'm going to go negative here to address the elephant in the room. Andrew Berkshire yesterday with arguably the dumbest take of all time.
We're not going to use that name, by the way. Like, we're done.
Okay.
There's no credit being given here. Okay. So go ahead.
To that guy came out with arguably the worst take of all time. And you can come at players, you can do whatever. He's not the first. He won't be the last to do it. But Frank, it felt like he was coming at the media and hockey media in general about not reporting the stories. I've got your tweet right here. I thought you did a great job. Great use of the GIF as well. This made me giggle away. Frank, just tell us, what are your thoughts on this entire situation? Because I thought it was uncalled for to Hyman and uncalled for hockey writers in the media.
I think that there's multiple layers to unpack here. I think you hit on two of them. There are more. The fact that there wasn't another damning video made attacking Sam Reinhart after he scored 50. And if you actually look at the map, the heat map of where both of these players have scored, the vast majority of their goals this season are remarkably similar. Sam Reinhart, I guess you could also say, had a privileged upbringing, as his dad not only had a successful NHL All-Star career, but also was a very prominent stockbroker, if you will, that it certainly had some success. Why not any criticism for Sam Reinhart? And it can't just be that because this person doesn't watch Panthers games that there's no criticism. To me, there was a healthy undertone of anti-Semitism that, frankly, I will not stand for. I've had enough. I think it's disgraceful. And I'm going to begin to call these people out for some of the tropes that they want to attach to the social media discourse that goes back and forth. I really hesitated before doing so because I don't want to give people like him more oxygen. But at some point, you need to call out the clowns. You need to have an honest and forthright conversation. And I think the clapback on social media, which hockey Twitter never agrees on anything at any point in time, to be solely united against one person and one take and opinion. I mean, there it is from Witt. Like, you know, you never want to, this is, I think either he or someone else had this at some point yesterday too, which is like on social media, on Twitter, at any point in any given day, one person is the main character asshole, and you never want to be that person. So you should set out on your course of, you know, whatever your IV drip of choice is on social media, whether it's Instagram or Twitter or whatever. You never want to be that person. And he was that person yesterday. So congratulations. And I had an NHL coach text me this morning who said, let me scroll through my messages here and find it, because he saw the next video that this person put out, and he said, someone needs to tell him that the best way to get out of a hole is to stop digging. And I was like, okay, well said. So, look, we can, and I'm happy to engage in unpacking the other parts of this, but, you know, don't think for a second that, like, we're sitting here in the hockey media pulling the wool over everyone's eyes and not talking about some of the systemic issues that exist and barriers that exist in the game. It's not hockey media's fault. We're not lazy. We're not doing our jobs. And the other part is, even if you have some of these privileges or legs up or whatever it is that you want to call it, which there's no question or denying that Zach Hyman did, the Toronto Maple Leafs don't hand you a spot in the NHL. You don't then just get to play with Austin Matthews and Mitch Marner. And then you don't, someone doesn't give you $38 million in Edmonton, and you don't just get to play with Connor McDavid because your daddy had money, and you don't score 51 goals on accident, whether or not you did all the work and they're ethical or unethical, whatever bullshit that is that people want to, you know, put forth. It, you know, there is talent, there is skill. You know, would he have made it this far without some help along the way? No, but everyone at some point or another, whether it's from a coach, a mentor, a parent, someone that sees something, and then the work that you put in to accomplish that. I know that was like a 4-minute answer, but there's a lot to unpack.
Yeah, it's all extremely true, isn't it? Like, why? I don't know. I don't want to get into it too much more, but just on a, I guess we'll stick back to the IC.
Positive, Liam. Stop being so positive.
Well, I want to talk to you about Evander Kane too, because that was kind of a story that got thrown under the rug a little bit because of everything that happened.
Not too positive.
Yes, but obviously had a maintenance day, I guess we're calling it, against the Ottawa Senators.
Just call it a healthy scratch now.
I guess that's part of my question. Like, why wouldn't the Oilers just call it a healthy scratch? Like, I know only a week before it was, like, Sean Couturier and John Tortorella had their whole thing, which
they don't
is
want
what
the
it
smoke.
Is. But does it not create more smoke by saying it was that? And then obviously Evander Kane's going to come out and say something, right? And
well, to his credit, that's part of the thing well. Is like, let maybe they're just letting him bury himself. And if you watch his face during the interview, like, he cannot, there is no ability that Evander Kane has to help himself. He continues to be his own worst enemy. And I don't know that there's ever fixing that, to be honest. But there was an easier way to do this. There was an easier way to engage in the conversation, and he can't just, you know, let the situation play itself out. He more or less had to tell everyone that it wasn't his choice and that he wasn't hurt. And instead of it just being a maintenance day, it became more than that. And so now you're left with, you know, these questions of Chris Knobloch and then whatever else, if you want to make them. I think the bottom line is this, and it's clear. One, Evander Kane's not playing well. And, you know, you could say Tuesday was a step in the right direction against the Jets and one of the better games he's played of late. Fine. Two, for the Oilers to get to where they need to get to this season, they need a lot more from him. And we've seen in playoffs past how much of a game changer he can be. And also last year against Vegas, when he's not right and not performing, how much of a detriment that can be to this team. He does change the, I think, their fortunes depending on how he's playing. And then three, this part is becoming crystal clear to me and others, is his act is wearing thin. And it's a tale as old as time. He starts off really well in any new place that he goes to, and it's like a coach, the clock begins to tick. And at some point, the Oilers will probably have to address it before his contract is up. It may or may not be as soon as this summer, but he wears out his welcome. It's fact, it's not opinion. And I had the sense that his act was already beginning to wear with these Oilers players well before you get some video that pops up with Leon Draisaitl and Evander Kane jawing at each other. Now, I don't have the chat up on my screen, but I bet you there's some fans that are in the chat that are saying, why do this? Why are you saying this? Why make this a bigger thing than it is? And that I'm just reading the room without even seeing it. And the answer is because that's what the truth is. Like it, love it, hate it, Oilers fanboy glasses or not, that's fact. So I'm just going to say it.
Is he someone that's becoming more and more difficult to move then? Like you said, like this is a trend now where at the start he's really good and people love him, and then all of a sudden he wears off very quickly. Like, are they going to have a more difficult time moving him than you think they could? I don't know.
I don't think it's necessitated anything right now. Mm-hmm. I think when he's on, relative to cap hit, he's a fine player. And like I just sang his praises of, in terms of how big and critical, pivotal of a piece he could be for this team in this playoff run. Like, please don't misunderstand that and recognize and potentially separate player from person and player from teammate, which I think the Oilers, their front office went into this eyes wide open. Frankly, their leadership and their captain, who had gone into to Ken Holland's office at the time and said, go get this guy. They knew and have heard all the stories. They knew what they were signing up for, but they felt like this is a player that could really help them. And maybe someone else at some point in time without a crazy amount of term, now halfway through the deal, will feel that way at some point. So I'd say right now, don't need to do anything and won't be difficult to move, but A, let's see how far this goes, and B, let's see what the aftermath is.
I got one for you, Frank. Here is, you talk about one guy who's maybe had a little negative impact in the room, and Evander Kane. One guy who's been a great addition in the room is Corey Perry, the Worm. Got in a fight last night, even though he probably shouldn't have taken that fight. But that's what I love about Corey Perry. I saw some people in the chat asking earlier, so I'll ask it. What do you think the likelihood of Corey Perry sticking around in Edmonton is? It's a one-year deal. He's 38 years old. He scored 10 goals so far. He seems like he still has more in the tank. What have you heard, or what are you thinking?
I think that is going to be entirely up to Corey Perry. I mean, what is this fit from a family perspective? Let's see what the playoffs look like. Knowing Corey Perry a bit, I think part of his thought process is that he's going to keep playing this game until someone takes it away from him, kicking and screaming. In fact, the last few stops that he's had, I think one of the things that he's been craving has been some stability, and he likes to get set up in a place and, you know, understand what the expectations are, what the coaching staff is like, what the environment's like, and his teammates, and has, you know, more often than not wanted to stay. Think back to that 2-year deal that he had in Tampa, and they really wanted him to, you know, they wanted the term, and he wanted it too. So, I don't have a crystal ball. I'd say that I'd be shocked if he's not playing next season. And I just, It's not clear to me yet if he'll be back in Edmonton. And I think the other part of it is, who's going to be the GM in Edmonton?
Maybe Corey Perry.
Maybe someday.
Maybe someday. But there you go, Frank. That's all the questions we have. We've taken up quite a lot of your time. So thank you very much for stopping by, and we'll see you next time.
Have a good one.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So yeah.
See ya, Frank. Let's get some haircuts.
There you go. Frank's appearance is brought to you by Star Mechanical. And also that last question that Aaron threw in there was a great Clips inbox question. With more than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada, Great Clips is the world's largest hair salon brand, an official hair salon brand of the NHL. Salons are locally owned and operated and open 7 days a week. Your time is valuable, people.
Should I get out of Great Clips? They do good work.
And you know what you could do? You could use the Great Clips check-in app to see the time, the wait time, and check in on your phone and get your haircut when you want it, Aaron. Get rid of those ginger locks, buddy. Get back to that nice brown hair that you've got.
These are pretty crazy right now. I have used the Great Clips check-in app before. It's fantastic. You just walk in. There's people sitting around everywhere. And then you walk in like you're the president and be like, nope, I'm first in line, and you got to cut the line. It is fantastic.
This is very good. That question there too was Reagan, I believe, was the one who threw in the Corey Perry question. There was obviously a few other people in there. Lance Kane. Lance Kane is the new GM of the Edmonton Oilers. Rusty, sorry, we didn't ask about Arizona. I feel like the Arizona stuff is not a lot has changed until it's going to change. I feel like that's what it is. So we don't really have much of an update on that kind of stuff. But Aaron, let's get to the scoring summary from last night's game, brought to you by the Service Credit Union. Service Big Share is in full swing with your chance to win 1 million by just saving money. We all do that. Anybody, anywhere can enter by becoming a member at Service. Every $500 saved gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. There's also a link in our bio, which you can just go and click and you'll be right there to do it. Also one for Great Clips in there too. Mm-hmm. All our sponsors are in our bio, folks, if you want to go and check.
Liam, we're the ones that typed that out and put that in. Look at us getting our shine right now.
I know. So Service Credit Union scoring summary. Obviously, the Edmonton Oilers won 4-3 last night. So let's run through what happened. No goals in the first period, thanks to Stuart Skinner. And also a big save from Connor Hellebuck on Zach Hyman to give Hellebuck some credit too, who maybe wasn't at his best last night, but also Winnipeg didn't play too well in front of him. Mason Appleton gets the first goal for Winnipeg, kind of a backdoor slide in there for him. Top line could have probably covered that guy a little bit better. Did you get any takeaways from this goal, Aaron?
Some people last night were very angry at Darnell Nurse on this play. Was specifically, I don't really understand why.
Why? I mean, he was covering a guy in the winger, didn't come back and cover the other guy.
I know. You should have seen it last night, Liam. You know how Waz and Brett love to get in fights all the time? Well, Waz was in the chat saying ridiculous Darnell Nurse stuff. And Brett, I was the only one who could see it because he didn't have his camera going. I thought his head was literally going to explode. He became a red tomato. He was making noises. The boys got fired up. That's a hockey play. He makes the first save, gets the rebound. It's just a tough play. The Jets are good.
The Jets are a good team. I completely agree, but the Oilers bounce back in a very positive way. Leon Draisaitl with his 38th goal of the season and a much needed breakthrough for the Oilers, obviously, but just a good 5-on-5 goal there to beat Connor Hellebuyck. A great pass from Connor McDavid as well for his probably millionth assist of the season. I don't even know what he's at right now, but this guy is just endlessly assisting on whatever he wants, and he's just not scoring.
The one guy on this play that I want to give credit to is Warren Fogle, because on first glance, I was like, why is Connor Hellebuyck the best goalie in the world so out of position on Leon Draisaitl? But when Fogle gets the puck, he does a slight little, not shot fake, but enough of a hezzy that it freezes Connor Hellebuyck, dishes it over to Draisaitl, and Draisaitl's going to bury on a wide open net like that 100 times out of 100. So shout out to Fogles and McDavid getting the apples on that one.
Also Sergeant Battle in the chat. Nurse had a really great game, to be honest. He got his stick in lanes multiple times last night. And I think the big one was in the third period when the Jets were kind of making their pushback. What looked like the Jets just missed the net was actually Nurse poking the puck right off that guy's stick, whoever it was. And then Connor Brown, only a couple of minutes later, just an absolute snipe. Anyone would have thought he had 51 goals on the season with the way this one went in. Kind of nice to see him, like, great pass by Ekholm too to find him there. And Brown, funny exchange of the bench with Perry as well before he came onto the ice here, but nice to see him score a legit goal. You know what I mean? Not to be rude to him. His two other goals count as well. Like, we all make fun of Janmark for scoring off his ass all the time too, but this was a really nice finish from Connor Brown.
This is a goal scorer's goal. This is a former 20 goal scorer. This looks like the things I expect Evander Kane to do. And there's a couple levels to this. T.S. Ekholm jumping up in the rush. I love it. He's been doing it so much more frequently over the last 2-3 weeks. I think shout out Paul Coffey. But Connor Brown, hand up. I probably chirped him more than anybody on this program. I mean, I had the map on my show for forever, but I've mentioned that I thought he has the slowest shot release possible. All of his shots earlier in the year were getting tipped out of bounds, out of play, whatever. This one just ping. The sound it made was a thing of beauty. The celebration was a thing of beauty. Yeah. And Liam, you mentioned it with Perry. Was Perry trying to give Brown Perry's stick? I was very confused at what happened. Yeah, break that one down for me, because that was weird.
I don't know. Yeah, there was just kind of a weird exchange of the bench with both the sticks. Like, was he trying to do a fist bump? I don't know. And the sticks just got grabbed. But so did he score that goal with Perry's stick or his stick?
Somebody correct me in the chat, but I believe that I wanted to say that he gave it to Brown and then Brown just threw it in the bench.
Yeah.
His own stick. You would think he would keep his own stick, but maybe the reason that shot release was so good is because he was using former MVP Corey Perry's stick.
Maybe. Spencer Powell in the chat, who said his comments were muted earlier. Spencer, we see you. Sorry, I skipped that one. Lehman had the under 1.5 on the season. I did. I doubted Connor Brown. Sometimes I try to be too realistic with things and I need to be more optimistic about it. I didn't think he would. I don't know how many he'll get. I don't really like predicting net because at the end of the day, this guy had one goal in 54 games. It's really hard to know how many he's going to get in his last 20 games or so. But then another player who's been sneak bitten, not for as long as Connor Brown was, but Ryan Nugent-Hopkins snaps, I believe, his 13-game goalless drought on the power play. A bit unlucky, had a post against Toronto in the final moments and then also a post against Ottawa, but manages to get on the board here with his 17th of the season on what was a double minor for Ehlers, I think it was. And yeah, just gets to the back post. Shockingly, Connor McDavid gets the assist. Someone said in the chat this was his 93rd assist. This one might be his 94th. I should really research that. But Ryan Nugent-Hopkins gets the goal we need him. Hopefully Evander Kane can be next and we can get a move in here with the offense. But nice to see the Nuge chip in with a goal.
Monkey off the back. You could tell by Nuge's reaction, but the play here is 97. He goes the entire stretch of the ice one-on-one against the whole team, slices and dices, delivers it out to Nuge with his own Zach Hyman-like goal there. Yeah. I made so many jokes about, well, how rich was Nuge's parents last night? Or so many people. This was just a beautiful play from 97. 93, he's been snake-bitten. He's on a cold streak, but I don't think he's played bad by any means. He's just had a tough time scoring goals. He's hit posts. You could tell here it was nice seeing Hyman give him the big celebration of, hey, man, way to go, way to get it going, because we all saw the video for Hyman's 50th, and these boys care about each other, and they want each other to get off the schneid.
Totally agree. And it was Hyman yesterday, I believe. It would have been after the game, talking with Gene, said just how valuable Nugent Hopkins is to this team, even if he's not scoring goals, which, like I said, he struggled to score in his last 13. He's on the power play. He's on the penalty kill. He can play anywhere up your lineup. We saw him the other day play on the third line with Henrik. He's just one of those guys who is so, I don't think he's undervalued in the market by any means. We all love Ryan Nugent Hopkins, but in the grand scheme of the NHL, like, he is very undervalued for what he actually brings to the team. Yes, he's not going to get his 100 points like he did last season. I think we can all agree that was a bit of a mirage the more we think about it, but he's still a guy you can trust to show up. Even when a team plays bad, he typically plays very well.
He's a jack of all trades, master of some, I would say in there. He's been through it all with this team. He's been a bright spot when we were down. And you mentioned it, that out of market, him getting his love. I would totally agree with that, but I felt last year's 100 points.
Yeah.
Sometimes the mainstream NHL media just needs to see over 82 points in a season to be like, oh, he's actually really good. Where anyone who watches hockey and knows the game goes, that guy is an asset. And there's things that Nuge does that do not show up in the stat sheet. But if you're an Edmonton Oilers fan, you know what I'm talking about.
Shay O'Hara in the Facebook chat. Nuge is a stud. And I know you like guys like it when I say this. So this one comes in from Sean. Cup year.
Cup year,
folks. The Oilers beat a good team last night. It's very much a cup year. Unfortunately, the scoring summary is not over because the Winnipeg Jets came back and banged home a couple of goals literally in a minute. Brendan Dillon, who just loves to fight against the Edmonton Oilers, obviously had one against Evander Kane earlier in the year, and then Darnell Nurse too. A bit unlucky, I think, for Skinner on both these goals. Just credit where credit is due. A couple of good tips in front and screens to allow these goals to go in. And then shortly after, literally a minute, Sean Monahan ties the game at 3 with just a good play. Monahan, I'll give him some credit too. Like, he's been able to really turn around his career after struggling with injuries in Calgary, go to Montreal, get injured again. And this season, now he's on a cup team. Like, it's guys like that who, one, I wish were on the Edmonton Oilers, but two, you like to see them have a little bit of success. Granted, I wish it wasn't against Edmonton, but like, credit to him.
I know he's a former Calgary Flame, so he's forever in my bad books, and we'll deal with that. You have to respect this ability to fight back, to be kind of cast aside by the NHL, sent over to Montreal, and then shout out Montreal. They were able to get a first round pick for him this season. They got one before. This is a tough play for Skinner, and I want to say it for both of them. Like, the second one, it went off Vinny's leg right in front of him. Yeah. People last night, there's some that are going at Vinny. You know how a YouTube chat can get after the game. That's just a tough play. Here again, the Jets were hot and hungry right now. You could feel it, that something bad was about to happen. Boom, this happens. But then, Liam, I bet our next highlight's pretty good.
Yeah, before we get to that one, though, the Ryan Nugent Hopkins penalty at the end of the game was so frustrating to see, because I get it. Like, sometimes refs are going to make decisions that are just like, damn, like, that was clearly the wrong call. But on a play like that, where it's so, can be so questionable, right? Like, a trip is like, whatever. Like, same with like a slash, for example. Like, usually you have a pretty good idea, but the high stick, even if it's just 2 minutes, should be a reviewable one. I can't remember if this is something they had brought up at the meetings recently, but that sucked to see. And if the Oilers had lost that game off that call, that would have been such a bummer.
Dude, if we would have lost that game after that call, I was fuming last night, because remember the Ottawa game, Vinny Desharnais got a penalty for playing defense against whoever that was coming up the boards. It was frustrating to see that. Shout out the Edmonton Oilers penalty kill last night. They had the Jets go 0-for-5 on the power play. They were structured. They were smart. They really, really limited the Jets' offensive players. I also don't know if they were at their best A game and whatnot. You've mentioned they've lost 3 in a row, but
4 now.
You can clearly see the stick tape, and I get it. You can only review it if it's 4 minutes, and the ref has to do it in the moment, and it's a tough thing to do. But after watching 1 or 2 replays, I'm like, oh yeah, his stick tape is different than Nuge's. That's clearly his stick. And you could have reviewed that in 30 seconds and then figured that one out. And thank the Lord, it didn't go the wrong way.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, it's not a long review, but what didn't take long to review at all was Zach Hyman's overtime winner. His 51st of the season. And obviously we've touched on it a bunch already, but just a great initial shot there just to get something on net. And then in Zach Hyman fashion, picking up his own rebound and banging it home past Connor Hellebuck. I don't know if he saw any of the messages yesterday that were sent around from the what do they call it? The one who shall not be named, Voldemort. But just very poetic that he was the one who gets the overtime winner and also helped me hit one of my Betway bets of the day too. So that was nice.
What was your bet? What was your bet yesterday?
I just had a Zach Hyman goal, which was just great. That's the thing too. And Tyler and I touched on it the other day. Not only is he scored 51 now, but he leads the Edmonton Oilers in goals with a team that has Leon Draisaitl, Connor McDavid, Evander Kane, Nugent Hopkins, all these guys. And Zach Hyman is the one that leads the way in the goal category. It's incredible.
It really is. And it's just the gift that keeps on giving. And it's funny now because Voldemort, does he have now the worst tweet in Zach Hyman history? Shout out editor Leaf, because he must have been taking a victory lap yesterday being like, holy cow, they're picking on somebody else besides me. That was a beautiful goal. Classic Hyman. Nuge, you can tell he's getting off the schneid, makes a great play there to get the puck to Hyman. He just kind of works Mark Scheifele, and that's a thing of beauty. The one thing I didn't like about the goal, the OT winners lately, they've been doing the pop the chin strap off and do that thing, and let's pack it up, boys. Let's go home. Hyman didn't do that last night. Mm-hmm. Somebody told me that for the next After Dark, we win in overtime, I got to get a strap for my hat so I can just pop it off and be like, let's go home, boys. Zach Hyman, poetic, whatever word you want to use. Of course, it was going to be him that scored last night. It was written in the stars.
Of course it was. And that was, of course, our Douglas mattress moment of the game. I sleep on a Douglas mattress every night. And you will not find a comfier mattress anywhere in the city. It's not only me that loves my Douglas mattress, but over 200,000 Canadians and more than 10,000 of them have left a 5-star review. Avoid pushy salesmen by ordering online at douglas.ca/OilersNation. Spoiler alert, you can also find that link in our bio because Aaron and I typed it out before the show. But moving on. Sorry?
How do I get a Douglas mattress? Tyler has a Douglas mattress. You have a Douglas mattress. Maybe because I'm behind the scenes normally, but I'm on the screen today. So Douglas reps, send me a mattress, please.
Well, look,
why my sideburns look so bad? It's why my hair's orange. Not sleeping on a good bed.
Like I said, you got to go to douglasmattress.ca/OilersNation, which you can find in our bio. Someone made a great comment, and I actually thought about this when I was writing the writing the review. I'm not Canadian. So more even people who aren't Canadian love this mattress. So there you go.
Leon, do you notice who that is in that photo?
That's you. Young you.
That photo is from like 11 years ago. I don't know who this is, who is doing this. This is the first time I saw this last night, and I was like, wait, is that me in the chat? And then I was talking to my own brother in the chat. It was very weird. Things got weird. The YouTube chat, it's a weird, wild place.
Jeremy LeBrec, good guy.
Good guy.
Somebody in here too always comes in. I don't know who this is, but they always ask for a crew update. And then also big news coming out of Crusaders land today is new mascot is being announced. I'm not telling you what the mascot is, but I'll tell you, it's pretty cool. It's a pretty cool mascot. It's a lot different. They used to, you've probably seen it, Aaron, going to crew games, but it was like a knight on a horse and it is massive. This one is not as big and you can get up and down stairs in it, which I think is a big thing for the people in the mascot.
Give me the crew update though. How are the boys doing? They've been rolling this year.
Yeah. disappointing weekend last weekend, but we're rolling into the playoffs here. Guys coming back healthy. First playoff game should be April 19th. I don't know who it'll be against yet. There's still some stuff up in the air, but come on down. Shua Park Arena. Obviously, we got the new rink coming in a couple of years too. Just signed a new player out of Ontario called Jude Bray, who is, he's good. You're going to want to come and see him.
Yeah, come on down to Shore Park Arena. I live a minute away. We can all hang out. We can have some beers at the games. They're good times.
Yes. Yes, you can. Next home game is April 5th. Superhero night. So there you go. Little crew plug in there. Hopefully nobody minds that over on the sales team.
Hey, we're running the show today. It's not Tyler. We're doing crew updates. We're both from Shore Park.
That's true. That's true. So let's move on here to the Rainbow Valley Sounds of the Oil. We have a quote from Chris Knobloch on this one. But before we get to that, Rainbow Valley opens May 15th this summer. Take advantage of over 60 sites and 3 comfort camping domes right here in the city. It's going to be fantastic. Rainbow Valley. You can go to Rainbow Valley, rainbow-valley.com for online booking, and online bookings are coming soon. Only campsite in the city, folks. You don't even have to go far. You could go to an Oilers game in the playoffs when it opens in May 15th. Go there. And then all your buddies can go and stay in one of the camphor domes too. It's going to be great.
That would be really, really fun to do. I know Jay mentioned that before kind of jokingly. And I was like, dude, that would be an awesome in-town nation vacation. We go camping and go watch the Oilers win. That's a good time.
I think it would be fantastic. But the quote from Chris Knobloch, I found this one to be just a good generalization of what the Oilers were last night. He said, overall, I thought the game was pretty good. I didn't like our first 5 to 7 minutes and about that 3-minute stretch in the third period. Other than that, I thought our team played really well, doing a lot of little things. We had 40 plus shots, a power play goal, and the penalty kill was great. There's lots of things to be happy about. And I think that's really just a good way to define the game overall from Knobloch. The Oilers played well and it wasn't perfect for 60 minutes, but also it's really hard to play a full 60 minutes in the NHL, but they fought for each other. The penalty kill was nails. Stuart Skinner was great. Everyone was just involved. They got a depth goal from Connor Brown. Just a really good team performance, I think, for Edmonton in what really was a must-win game. If you don't win that game, the pressure is on going into Thursday against the LA Kings. Now at least you get that gap of a 3-point cushion on the Kings as both teams push for second in the Pacific. But just a really good game. Do you think that was a fair generalization from Nobby, Aaron?
Yes, and Liam, you killed that. It was a full squad effort that you mentioned. 60 minutes against any team is going to be hard to do. The Winnipeg Jets are a playoff-bound team. We know the rivalry that we've kind of created with them, especially from years previous. The penalty kill was great. Evander Kane looked hungry and activated. McDavid was the best player on the ice out there. Nuge gets off the schneid. The power play even got a goal. It just felt... they needed to be desperate yesterday. They needed to be desperate against Ottawa. Yeah. And I mean, they did outshoot the Senators 36-16, but you didn't get the dub. If you would have gone on 3-game Canadian road trip and came back with 0 points, this show today would have been an hour and a half. We would have been freaking out, but winning makes everything go down smooth. But it was the way they did it. As like Nobby said, besides those first, I don't know, 8 minutes of the game, I thought the Oilers, I'm not going to use the word dominated, but controlled the pace of play, controlled most things. And my one complaint would be take less penalties.
Yeah.
Some of them were a little bit questionable out there, but your PK showed up, your goalie showed up. And you mentioned it, the boys were fighting for each other. This was a great sign heading to the NHL playoffs in less than a month. And I hope this kind of gets the ball rolling because we got another playoff style game tomorrow against the LA Kings at Rogers Place.
Oh, it's going to be everything. To be honest, like I think Rusty put it great here. Game against LA is going to be electric tomorrow night. It truly will be. But speaking about being electric, I think it's time for Liam's game, Aaron. Brought to you by Greta on Saturday, April 6th. Join the Oilers Nation crew at your favorite game day spot to watch the Edmonton Oilers take on the Calgary Flames in the final BOA of the season. Doors open at 7 a.m. and tickets are $20 with proceeds going to the Logan Hunter Memorial Fund, an organization dedicated to supporting the community in the memory and spirit of Logan Hunter, number 18 from the Humboldt Broncos hockey team. Good food, a great cause, and a guaranteed good time. You can get your tickets now at nationgear.ca. And we're going to try and give you $25 to nationgear.ca right now with Liam's game. Bring up the easy one, Aaron. So if you haven't done this before, we've gone through as many times as the first one is easy. So one person gets put into the draw for this one. And then the second one is the hard. And then three people get put into the draw for this one. So here we go.
I also want to make it clear that I produce this show and I get these graphics sent to me very early. And I have not looked at them once. I have held it out. So we're in this together. Liam, read it out.
Okay. People keep asking for the flag game. Maybe we'll bring that back next week. Maybe Aaron can bring in a flag or two next week and we'll do that. So here we go. Easy one. I played close to 600 games in the NHL from 2000 to 2011. I played for seven teams, but my first team was Edmonton. I went to the Stanley Cup Finals once with a Canadian, which was with a Canadian team, I should say. Played with Shane Doan, Justin Williams, and Sidney Crosby. Anybody got any guesses in the chat? Aaron, first fall.
So when I look at this, if it's a also shout out Shane Doan's son.
Yeah, no kidding. Two goals last night.
What a debut. The Mullet Arena looked like it was packed last night, but I'm getting distracted. So that means he must have played on the Coyotes.
Yeah.
See some names in here flying in. Went to the Stanley Cup Finals once for the Canadian team. That makes me think he was because there was the Senators made the cup. The Flames made the cup, mm-hmm. and the Oilers made the cup final. So he has to be on one of those teams, right?
Yes. So it was the Flames, Edmonton, and yes, Sens were the only teams in that era from his playing time to make it to the Stanley Cup final. So keep that in mind. He played for seven teams. His first team was Edmonton, went to the Stanley Cup finals once, which was with a Canadian team, and he played with Shane Doan, Justin Williams, and Sidney Crosby. Now I'll give you another clue. None of those players he played with played on that Canadian team. Shockingly.
Shocker.
Yeah. I can't believe no one's got it.
I know. I'm Googling away on the side here. Somebody like, hey, I got a name going. I always love because your easy ones tend to be the harder ones.
I know, which is crazy. I guess I'll add another clue to it. He was drafted by the Oilers. So his first team was the Oilers. All right, that's what it says. First team was the Oilers. Oh, we have the guess. The guess is in. Someone got it in the chat, Aaron.
Give it to me.
The answer was coming in from Oilers fan, 87 Oilers fan. Oh, not Mike Peckett. It moved up. Mike Comrie. Mike Comrie went to the Stanley Cup Finals with the Ottawa Senators, played with Shane Doan, obviously in Arizona, and Sidney Crosby in Pittsburgh. And also Justin Williams, I believe it was the Flyers or the Islanders. I can't remember actually which team it was, but played.
Well, just make sure when you read all these statistics, none of that would have been possible without his parents. So you got to know all of that about Mike Comrie. Also, shout out Comrie. Weird, I'm born on September 11th. So is Mike Comrie. Shout out birthday twins.
Oh, we have an error. Wise Kyle also said it before him. So I'll put Wise Kyle in the chat too. I didn't see it. So there you go. Wise Kyle, an Oilers fan, 87. My bad. There you go. Right, second one. Yeah, the hard one. I've played almost 300 games in the NHL and most recently played last season. I am a defenseman whose rookie year was 2015. I was traded to Edmonton from a Canadian team. I once played for three teams in one season. All 15 of my playoff games came in one season.
Okay.
This one should be tough.
Yeah, normally I get like six names that could like randomly pop in my head that I think it could be. I'm limited with options here, Liam. So he's a defenseman, rookie year 2015.
So I believe he's actually currently still on an NHL roster, but he hasn't played a game this season. He's not that old either.
Somebody in here said Brett Kulak. Cause I was like, no, but three teams in one season. No, that won't work. And 15 games is a weird number.
Okay. Yeah. This guy did not play a lot for Edmonton. That's also another clue. I will say this one is a difficult one. Ethan Benn, no. Troy Stetcher, no. I don't believe he's played for three teams in one season. Maybe he has, but not
Troy in Stetcher state. Came from Arizona, which is not in Canada. Little jar. Yes, no. The flag That's- game, the flag game.
He was traded to Edmonton, people. So not Ethan Benn, not Caleb Jones. Rookie year 2015. Not William Lagesson, drafted by Edmonton.
Rookie years. Googling names here.
I'll tell you now too. He was drafted by the Canadian team he was traded to Edmonton from too. Wasn't a first round pick, played college hockey.
No. Okay, so there's a limited amount of Canadian teams this could be. So I gotta think.
Brandon Davidson was drafted by Edmonton, guys. Griffin Reinhardt. No.
Came from the Islanders.
I'll tell you. Ooh. Nah, no one's not Slater Cuckoo. Kale McCarr, I wish. Not
Has anybody got it yet?
No, but okay, just to try and move things along. The Oilers got him from the Ottawa Senators.
Eric Greiba.
No, not Eric Greiba. Damn it.
Oh, all right, well, man, back to the drawing board for me on that one.
Maybe I made this too difficult.
No. There's no such thing. There's 682 people watching, I guess, on all platforms. We can figure this out together. I thought of Jordan Oesterle, but he was drafted by the Oilers or first played on the Oilers.
Okay, so here's the next clue just to get things going. Oh, someone said it. Someone said it in the chat. Someone
Check
said it.
Chat. No, wait. Nope.
Okay, they're flying in. Are you ready?
All right, tell the people.
Chris Weidman. Played 5 games for the Edmonton Oilers before they traded him to Florida for Alex Petrovic, noted great Edmonton Oiler. So I have Mike Badham, Mike, whatever your name is.
Mike.
Sergeant Battle and Patrick, not from Denmark, living in Utah, Casper. So there you go. So here we go. Spinning the wheel. Who will get it?
Wise fan?
Oh, I was meant to say Wise Kyle. Wise Kyle. Wise Kyle, you are the winner. Email Tyler at thenationnetwork.com. That's two N's in that one, yep. Too. You can just email him and he'll set you up with a gift card. So my bad. But not
and then Liam, Wise Kyle could use that $25 to buy a ticket to Greta for the BOA watch party on April 6th. We're going full circle here, people. Or you can get some shirts, you can get some swag, get whatever you want. But the Greta experience is a good experience. And I mentioned too, we're going to be living at Greta throughout the playoffs. This is going to be a good warm up to get you going, get everything going. And I guess warm up your liver, literally.
Yes, literally. So congratulations, Wise Kyle fan. Email Tyler. Let's get moving on here because we've already hit the hour mark. DoorDash, the menu. My favorite thing to do is a double dash feature, Aaron. It lets you add additional orders from another restaurant with no extra fees or minimums. So when I get a pizza, which you know I love pizza, Aaron, I can also get a bubble tea. I worked at a Chinese restaurant for many, many years. And trust me, I know my way around a bubble tea. So you can get that from wherever you want. No extra delivery fees. All you got to, and is also for a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order at $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter in all caps Nation25, which you can see at the top of your board there too. Also, Jeremy, yes. Shout out Smiley's, my fellow Smiley's employee.
You worked at Smiley's on Wild Road?
Yeah, I did. I worked at Smiley's. I was a server. So if you've ever been there before, maybe I served you. I was also a delivery driver. My car once got broke down on like an acreage. It was awful.
I was a pizza delivery driver too. Nice. Good stuff. Yeah. That's why I like you so much.
That's all you need to get to the Nation Network, guys. You need to be a delivery driver. The NHL, you got to be incredibly rich. Oh, this Nation delivery driver. So the menu, obviously, Better Late Than Nether, I believe, will come out later today. But I actually wanted to go to the NHL a little bit and give a bit of a scoring update from last night. I said there was a playoff race in the West. Might have died yesterday after the Golden Knights went to overtime and extended their gap over the St. Louis Blues to 6 games, with I believe 10 or 11 games to go. They did ultimately lose to the Nashville Predators, who are just absolutely streaking right now, currently on tied of Edmonton for points. They might beat out Winnipeg. Like, I think there is a great chance that could happen there. And it's a lot tighter than I think we anticipated. So credit to the Predators. The other game that happened that was had a bit of meaning to it. There's quite a few in the NHL last night, but the one I wanted to note was the New York Rangers became the first team to clinch a playoff spot and now sit first in the NHL with 100 points. The race for the President's Trophy is awesome. And I'm actually really excited. I'm really excited that this season we have so many races coming down to the wire. No divisions are really determined. There's multiple teams. I think there's 7 or 8 teams going for President's Trophy. Wildcard spots are up for grabs in both conferences. It's a good time to be an NHL fan, Aaron.
Dude, it really is. And a little update on the scoring race, because it's become impossible for one Connor McDavid. He is currently at 119 points. Cooch and McKinnon are each at 123. He's 4 points back. I'm never going to doubt 97. I really didn't think this would be possible with the way things were going earlier in the year. And dude, McDavid looks like he is rounding out into McDavid form right before our eyes, right before the playoffs.
Oh, 100%, 100%. And to move on to close out the show, let's talk about our friends at Betway. 19 plus, please bet responsibly. With Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200 if your first bet loses. Create an account, scan the QR code, which is that way. No, it's this way. How did my thumb move? That way. Scan the QR code on the screen, redeem your bonus, place a bet. No minimum bet required, by the way. And if the bet loses, you can get up to a refund of $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports again. Offer only valid outside of Ontario, though, I will say that. So there you go. That way, Aaron, how did Boardsy's bankroll go last night?
Well, my 3 picks, the one that the chat picked, it didn't hit. Hey, I'm human, but I've been red hot on Boardsy's bankroll. But it was a Vander Kane anytime goal at plus 250. But also on there, and I kind of broke my own rules, because sometimes I'll bet all 3 of them. Sometimes I'll let the chat decide. I went with a Nuge power play point, plus 200 on that one on Betway. He was able to get that goal. So that was big for him and big for me.
That is big. I had a few myself last night. I always go with my insurance pick of Connor McDavid 2+ points. I also go with Connor McDavid 2+ assists basically every night. And I also went with a Zach Hyman and Leon Draisaitl goal last night. So I was slept on a mattress, although my Douglas mattress, I just laid it with $5 bills after what my winnings last night. So it was
you'll be in the NHL in no time, Liam. NHL in no time.
I'm just about to hit my prime. I'm 28 in less than a month. I'm ready for the NHL. Anything else you want to add today, Aaron? I think we've gone over our time slot. Tyler said we only had to do 45 minutes. We never do that.
I knew something like this would happen. I also laughed that you just said 28's your prime, because that means I'm in my prime right now, and yep. I don't feel that way. Maybe that's more about me than everybody else. But no, I'm good. Good show today. We'll be back tomorrow. Tyler will be back. A little pre-gaming tomorrow as well for, as I said, yep. That's a playoff game tomorrow night against the LA Kings. Fans are going to show up and show out. It's going to be physical. Mikey Anderson, king of the rat list. What more do you want?
I'm really excited for tomorrow's game. And yeah, we'll close it. We'll close it there tomorrow. Tyler will be back. Jay will be on the show. We'll probably get a guest. I don't know who we'll get. We'll find out. I usually find out when I sit down for the show. So will you. So thank you everybody in the Charm Diamond Centers chat for interacting with us today. Thank you, Frank Cervalli. And thank you, Aaron, for jumping on with me and not making me talk to myself for 1 hour and 5 minutes. But we'll see everybody tomorrow.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.